Hi, and welcome to Undressed. I'm Megan Collins of Style Girlfriend. If you're a regular follower of SG, you know we're all about providing the female perspective on all things men's style and more. We get it. Being a modern man probably feels more confusing than ever today. Style Girlfriend gives its audience insight into the type of man women want to be with, from how he dresses to how he acts. Bottom line, we know that great style doesn't end with the clothes in your closet. So, join us as one of my writers, Taylor Davies, and I discuss the latest in the weird, wonderful world of men. We'll give you the inside scoop on what women are really thinking about what's going on. Hi, guys. Welcome to Undressed. I'm Megan Collins of Style Girlfriend. This week, I'm being joined by a special guest, Gabby Pedriani, a writer for Style Girlfriend and PR professional based here in New York. Happens to also be from Wisconsin, but that's not why I hired her.
We only ever communicate with our kind.
I do have a problem. It's very true. Tell me you're from, like, as Style Girlfriends get bigger, it's going to become a problem because people will just put it on their resume because they'll know that it's for them.
Yep.
And they're actually from, I don't know, Alaska or like Sacramento. Okay. But I'll just be like, oh, Wisconsin, cheese curds. And I'll be like, cheese curds.
It's elevating Wisconsin. So I'm like, you know, I'm all for it. Not that it's not elevated.
Wow.
In its own way.
Wow. I'm glad you really walked that back pretty quickly.
Yeah, I really caught myself there.
I just want to shout out our newest podcast supporters really quickly. Dimitri, an anonymous user, which was very exciting, and a couple of other people. So just a quick reminder that you can help keep Undressed ad-free because this is not actually a very long game advertisement for Travel Wisconsin right now.
Said ad with the Wisconsin ad. No.
You can support Style Girlfriend by heading to anchor.fm/Style Girlfriend and clicking on support this podcast. It's super easy.
Sounds easy.
Yeah.
Can I do it?
Yeah, anybody can do it, Gabby. Anybody.
Can I do it? Can you do it? How easy is it?
Everybody can do
Megan,
it.
Megan, tell me how easy it is.
Right now, we're in the black and white version of an infomercial where like everything's hard. But now, like, then it turns to color.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I can see
and
it.
And all you do is head to that website and click on the button, and you can, I think you can support us at like 99 cents a month, $1.99 a month. Like, I think $4.99 is literally the max. So we're not trying to drain your pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, speaking of supporting, I'm going to be back here at Anchor on Thursday. My friend Rembert Brown is doing an amazing 24-hour podcast-a-thon for a tennis camp in Atlanta that he went to growing up, and they're now raising money to help those kids come to the U.S. Open and sort of defray those costs. So if you'll be listening to this on Wednesday, check back in tomorrow. I think I'm on at like 1 o'clock, which means that's going to start streaming at like 2 or 3. I don't know. It's too much math for me right now, guys, but be checking back on Thursday. I'll Instagram live that as well. And if you don't want to support Style Girlfriend, but you do want to support kids who love tennis, support that instead. You don't have to do both. I'm not pushing anything on anybody.
It's a little overwhelming with both.
Yeah. It's 99 cents. It's like two very easy things.
Yeah, I know.
I know. It's tough. Do you have any end of summer plans?
I'm going to Montreal next week.
Whoa.
I know. I've never been. But I've heard a lot of like really snippy comments from real French people about it lately. Even last night, they're like, oh my God, we asked this person last week. We're like, my boyfriend said, are you French or Canadian? So he goes,
French Canadian was not an option.
Yeah. And he goes, are you from Canada? And he literally turns deadpan. He's like, of course not. I was like, oh, that like summed it up for me. I was like, oh, well, never asking that question again.
Do you speak French?
Really poorly. I took it forever, but you know, high school.
Yeah.
College.
So you'll like order in the restaurants and then they'll just switch to English.
Can order
as soon
like
as
French
they hear
fries.
You.
I've got like frites down.
Sure.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting though. I really want to try, like, I've never had poutine.
Oh,
I know. And do you know it has cheese curds? Like that's what's on it?
That's all it is. It's literally melted cheese curds and French fries.
I felt so sophisticated when I learned that cheese curds were in a Montreal dish. Is that like lame?
Well, I just think it's not sophisticated.
It seems to me like Montreal in my head seems a lot more sophisticated than Wisconsin.
Well, when you say like Montreal, then yes.
Oh, damn.
But if you're going to Montreal to have some French fries and cheese curds, it doesn't sound so fancy, no. It's all in the delivery.
It's so true. It's so true. But you know what? I'm going to go with it.
I like that.
I'm going to really practice how I say Montreal.
Yeah. No, it's exactly the same. Yeah. That was just the same. I have no such fun plans. I'm moving. I don't want to complain because I'm in a really lucky situation. So my building got sold and they're flipping all the apartments to super fancy apartments that I can't afford. So I have to be out by September 31st. I found a place I'm already moving my stuff in. Like, I'm moving my stuff in all week.
So you get like an actual period to move it over. Yeah. Wait, where are you moving?
Just like 10 blocks up. Like, I'm not.
That's nice. Are you going to walk anything? Not my mom.
So each morning I've taken like a $7 Uber from my apartment to the new apartment with like way too much stuff that I can handle.
That's nice,
and I'm
though.
Just going up in sort of trips.
Yeah.
It's been great. Again, I'm not complaining. It's a lot of work.
I hate moving.
Like, never, like, just hot tip, never move. Just like, decide to live somewhere and then die there. Just
never ever go.
Never,
and definitely
ever.
If you're gonna go, don't go in the dead of August in New York when you're like battling your way through urine smells just to like make it.
And I'm not trying. This is, I shouldn't even say this, but it's a 6th floor walk up.
Why did you do that?
Like, listen, I love this apartment. Yeah. It has all these built-ins.
Is that like
it's
a
really
fun,
beautiful.
Masochistic thing?
Like, I'm gonna get one of the, like, I'm gonna have like such a nice ass by like the end of the first month.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it is. It's a really great apartment. It's actually nicer than where I am now, except for the walk.
How long did it take you to find it?
It was the first place that I looked at.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. I mean, that's New
York. Like, that's some blessing. Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where you're like, is it not infested with mice and like, I don't know, there's like a swastika on the door next door? Like, then just take it. Like, I think that that's like pretty much how you look for places in New York. So it's fine. It's nice. I like it. I'm really glad that I have the time that it's not like one sweaty day of moving. It's like multiple semi less sweaty days of moving, but it does mean that like literally this Sunday is when the movers are coming to move like the rest of the stuff I can't handle on my own. So my Labor Day is just shot. Like, I'm already living in September. My summer's over.
But at least it starts in like a kick your fall off to a fresh way, you know?
Totally. Yes. And like Mercury just went out of retrograde, I think. So I think it's a good thing. Like, everything is changing for the better and sort of like converging into like positive new energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like an explosion of positivity. Did you like I saw that deadpan?
Yeah. Because I mean, that describes me to a T. I'm just an explosion of positivity at all times.
Literally, you're violent.
My mom was super impressed because the other day I called and I was like, not to be all the secret, but I was like thinking about how I need to go get a bunch of boxes and it's so stupid to pay for boxes. And then I came home and somebody fancy had just moved into one of the newly finished apartments in my building.
Yeah.
And I took all their fancy boxes.
How are they different from like, you know,
Well, they're like
boxes.
Already taped. And they're like very like
sturdy.
Well, like, yeah, corrugated.
Do they have
like,
is that a word? Do they have handles in the side too?
Yep. Oh my God, they're the best. They're the best
handles
boxes.
Are like
so I just, they literally, they were like empty and like, well, but like had all the wrapping paper and stuff in like stuffed inside of them. Like they were going to take them to the trash room or whatever. And I was like, nope. Yoink, yoink. And so I have like all the boxes I need.
Did anyone ever comment?
No.
I wonder if people care about
that. People don't even care that I live there anymore. I haven't paid my rent in 2 months.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Okay, that never happens. For anyone listening who's not in New York.
I should.
Because your landlord is literally
I know. I might cut this. I'm
cutting holes through your door to try to get the rent.
Well, it's just been a mess. Like, I'm living in a construction zone, so I think they kind of understand.
Right.
And they keep being like, you can leave early. And I'm like, well, I didn't really want to move. Because, again, live somewhere and then die there.
I thought you were going to tell me before that they were, like, paying you to leave. You know, like, they were
if they would have, I would have moved sooner.
But, I mean, at this point, without you doing the, you know, 2 months rent, that's a kind of paying you to leave.
I mean, I'll probably pay some of it. We'll see. TBD.
Crossing my fingers. At least you don't have mice. Now I have mice.
Oh.
My second time. I know.
I saw
so, anyways, like, now looking for, I'm going to have to follow your guide. There's no way I'm ever going to find my apartment on my first try.
Maybe mice just don't climb to the 6th floor. Maybe that's too much work for them. So maybe you should consider the
walk-up. That's actually a great point.
Up.
Oh, that's like a thing. Like, you need to live higher if you want to get away from mice.
Oh, my God. I literally thought I just made that up. But I like that that's maybe true.
It's literally science.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can we just talk about Louis C.K. really quick?
Okay, you can start because I don't think I'm as up to date as you need to, or I need to be.
Okay, so apparently just last night, Louis C.K. dropped in at, like, the Comedy Cellar here in New York. And did like a show. So for those of you who don't remember, it was a mere 10 months ago that women came out, other women comics, other women in comedy came out and said that he would like drop his pants and masturbate in front of them. He would ask first, but he'd just do it, right? And he was sort of lauded at the time because he put out this statement that like sort of took responsibility and was like, I'm going to step back and I'm going to spend some time listening.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for you, Gab, is, like, is 10 months enough time to listen? Like, did he do all the listening he could, and now he is a new, better man
just
that's
listened up?
Listened up?
Yeah. So weird, though. Like, to like sideball that question. Someone said to me a week ago, Louis C.K. is about to come back. I can feel it. Isn't that weird? Like, I think everyone knows that he's like one of those people who was like half in, and people were like, it was such a conflicting opinion. Like a lot of like the Louis C.K. thing got so many men involved. Like I had so many conversations with so many people who were just like, it really hit people, right? Like he was supposed to be like this good, super honest guy who like told it like it was. And so I think it hit people in a really unique way, kind of the same way that Aziz did, like in a, you know, it sparked new conversations. So I mean, like 10 months isn't enough time to like finish listening. Did his set do anything that was like acknowledging the past?
Nothing. No. Okay. And it's actually,
see, that's like also where I'm like, yeah.
Totally.
It should have.
It's interesting that you mention Aziz because apparently he actually did a couple of shows in like Madison and Milwaukee just this past week.
Oh, you're kidding me. I didn't know that.
Hannibal Buress and then like other problematic man comedian Michael Che. But at least he was headlining and they sold tickets to a show with Aziz Ansari. And so you knew that if you showed up,
you were going for. Right. Oh, yeah.
And so I think what's so ironic about Louis C.K. doing this show last night is that because it was a drop-in, it was a surprise. It's sort of like him doing what he wants all over again because the audience didn't get the choice. The audience didn't get to say, like, I actually don't want to be at a Louis C.K. show.
Or support or pay for it. Like,
exactly. And so I think that alongside the he didn't even acknowledge it, like, if he's had these 10 minutes to make up new jokes, like, why not, you know, mention what he went through and find a way to work through it in comedy? Yeah. Apparently Aziz didn't mention it either, and it's, to me, that's just super exhausting. Like, as if we're just supposed to say, like, these, again, not even year-long breaks for these millionaire people
who could suffer a year-long break.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like, someone, I think, on Vox called it hashtag Me Too Jail, and it's like, yeah, Me Too Jail is a lot better than real jail. So I guess it just bothers me that it feels like these guys haven't shown any remorse, that they've learned anything, and they just feel like they deserve a comeback when I don't think that's owed to them.
Yeah, I mean, so much of this to me is like, at least use it to spark a conversation. Like, that's the whole reason we got into this issue in the first place, I feel, is that like we weren't able to like make sexuality something that was like you're able to talk about, right? And so then like when shameful things happened, people didn't talk about them and it perpetuated, like, you know, like this Weinstein shit has been happening for years, like years. And so I just think like the biggest infraction on my part is just like not making it a conversation. So I can't believe that these people aren't mentioning it. Like, this is a really unique chance to confront something really shitty, and like to do nothing about it is like, that's what gets me. It's like, if you're gonna come back, like, you need to own it. You need to try to make a change, and you need to try to at least shift perception for people who like think it's totally chill for you to come back right now, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I agree with you there. I cannot believe I missed that he was on. I was literally just about to go. So funny too.
You're
Comedy Cellar.
Oh.
Yeah. No. where did you think I was gonna go?
To a Louis C.K. show. I don't know. He probably has already sold out a tour for all I know.
Yeah. That was a very mixed feeling thing. I had a lot of guys say to me, that was one that everyone kicked in. They're like, well, like, these girls could be lying. That was a big one. They just like really, really, really wanted to trust him. And again, it's not always men. Like, it's most people. Like, everyone has.
Okay. Is it most people? Or is it mostly men that said that to you? I'm just curious about the breakdown.
It's not only men, but I will say I've heard doubt from women too. But I mean, I'm in a world where this is like, my whole day is talking about sexual harassment like 24 hours a day.
We'll talk about that a little bit. Like I said, you write for Style Girlfriend, but you have a very full time day job.
Yeah, I do PR for a lot of sexual health companies. So it comes down to like, we have to be so aware of like all these different conversations, and you can't reach out to a journalist and not be like cognizant of the status of how this conversation is going. So how are we like perceiving men in this light right now? And like, I think there was like a really interesting shift with that Aziz article, which I know, Megan, we've talked about, but I've seen like both sides get really involved. Like, at first it was kind of like, it was like men versus women. And that one was like, oh, this is actually like a lot more complicated than men versus women. Like, this is like very nuanced. People don't fully get, you know, how they're supposed to respond. Anyways, I could ramble about that forever, but it is super interesting. Like, it's not always men versus women, but there's definitely like trends. Yes, obviously. Like, it's harder for men to get some things and harder for women to get some things too.
And it's interesting that you even position it as men versus women, because you would like to think that we're all on the same side, which is to say, like, everybody acting like decent people and not, I don't know, masturbating in front of them or asking for sex when the other person doesn't seem to want to give it. Like, we should all be on that side. It shouldn't be a man versus woman thing.
I don't know.
Call me crazy.
shouldn't be like a constant battle for your life every day you walk out on the street. Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty bad.
It's something I think about a lot, obviously, just because of Style Girlfriend.
Yeah.
And when I was watching To All the Boys I've Loved Before, yeah. Second week in a row we're mentioning on the pod. If you haven't seen it yet, I don't know what you're doing. And then I also saw Crazy Rich Asians that same weekend. And I remember leaving and finishing both movies just kind of with this sense of like, representation matters. And, you know, even though it wasn't sort of on my shoulders, like I'm not an Asian mm-hmm. woman, I'm not part, you know, I don't have an Asian like heritage, but I was so happy to see that representation and people and, who yeah. don't often get to be like the main roles and the sporting roles too. And I thought that was really great. And it sort of made me think about how a white guy might view that. And I'm just forever curious to sort of get into the head of our reader and sort of the mass male at large. And it was funny because this past weekend I was thinking about it and I realized that even that is problematic. Like, I do have this tendency to think of our readers as sort of like my brother times 1,000, which is like a 35-year-old, 36-year-old white guy who's like, he's in Madison, so he's in like sort of a sub, you know, metropolitan city. And I realized that was a shortcoming of my own, that I've turned all, like, men into this blob of, again, well-meaning, but maybe like, oh, wants to side with Louis C.K., like that white guy. And I know that our audience is way more diverse than that, and there's way more nuance and gray area to how they think. And so that's something that I realize that I need to deal with, and I need to sort of be aware that hashtag not all men, right?
Do you think you do that because it's like it's like relatable for you, or it's because or is it because it's all you know? Like, do you, because I think if I were to do that, it would be like, okay, well, like, I already don't get men, but like the man I get the most is like, you know, so it's tough because like you're doing it, like you say, well-meaning, like you're doing it because you want to better understand, and like that's the best way to put yourself in their shoes. But it's also very hard because, right, you want to like, it's like, what is the solution? Like, right. How do we get in more men's shoes? You
yes. know? And how do we uncover our own unconscious biases?
Yep.
If that, like, the whole point is that they're unconscious, and if they haven't been pointed out to me, like, it's going to take my own digging. And that's what happened this weekend. Like I said, it was sort of like this aha moment of like, oh, I didn't realize that when I think of Style Girlfriend readers, mm-hmm. I think of like a certain kind of guy, and I shouldn't necessarily do that. And just in the same way, I don't think that men should, and now here I am homogenizing them again, but men should look at something like a Louis C.K. situation and what you said, assume or kind of doubt the woman. Like, I think that we're all sitting around just making asses out of you and me, as my mom would say, when we assume about people. And so I don't think there's not a way to put a bow on that and say like, and so here's what we should do. Mm-hmm. But it is really interesting to kind of open yourself up to the idea that like, maybe I'm thinking about this through a really narrow lens, and mm-hmm. maybe I should do what I can to widen that scope.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's like, I think it's one of those like life processes too. We have to do a lot of like casting, whether it's for like events or panels or shoots. I'm doing a casting now for a shoot. And even how I think about the word diversity needs a lot of work. And I'm very open to critique, which I try to make clear like at the beginning, you know, of conversations, so people don't feel like they have to like cross that boundary of offending me. I'm like, please tell me where I'm messing up. Because you think of diversity, like, is it size? Is it gender? Is it height? Is it like skin color? Is it like origins? Like, is it age? It's just like, there's so many different things that I think now, whereas like, I think, you know, when we thought of like models, it's like diversity. Okay. It's like size. It's like, okay. Skin color. Like, we have to just like really think of like redefining what diversity means.
Right.
And that's been an interesting process, having grown up in Mequon, Wisconsin, which was like the most homogenized place probably in the United States. Let
possible.
Me just like venture to guess there. So that's hard. And it's like not necessarily any fault of my own, but that's also like not an excuse I can like pull out, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Because you live in New York City mm-hmm. now, and you have the internet, and you interact with different kinds of people every day. Right. And I think that's where I lose my patience a little bit, is just because it's all you've ever known doesn't mean that that's all there is.
Exactly. Yeah. That's tough though. Yeah. I mean, like, and then not to get angry at people, and like how to like call people in a conversation versus call them out. Same like when it happens to you. Oh man. Life is like is it harder than it used to be? It feels like a lot harder than it used to be. Or was that just because I was like always a child before?
Yeah, yeah. You were a child until just yesterday. Congratulations, by the way. I'm becoming a woman. No, I do think that life is more complicated, but I think it's more complicated because we're talking about more hard stuff. Yeah. And it's a good thing that we're talking about more hard stuff. And I hope that we continue to do that on Style Girlfriend and here on Undressed, because the less conversations we have about this stuff, the more that we're just going to keep on going on, like, not understanding each other as best as we can. And, like, like, what is an Avatar when they, like, twist their braids and they're like, I see you. Like, we want to see each other, you
know? Do you want to twist my braid, Meg?
Oh, God,
I got sexual real quick.
I'll twist your braid. Yes, like, we want to see each other and we want to feel seen. And I feel pretty strongly that we can't do that without talking more about who we are and listening to other people talk about who they are and accepting that and, you know, pushing those that we care about to do better. And
that's a good one. Pushing those we care about to do better. That's tough sometimes. Like, yeah. Family.
And letting others push us.
Yes.
And feeling it as like involved. A love tap and not a.
Yeah. You know, like a challenge, like why we're failing. Oh. Yeah. That's like a men versus woman thing that I'm like pretty conscious of.
Like, do you think you do a good job of it?
I think I try to do a good job and I'm like aware when I'm not doing a good job. I would hope, but I tend to find even with like a lot of men in my life, that's like a lot harder, you know, to like have to like stroke the ego before you can like destroy it, you know?
I'm a big fan of the compliment sandwich.
Yeah.
Hey, you could do better here. This other thing is great. Have a great day.
Thanks. Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. That's going to be on my tombstone.
Could have buried me a little deeper.
Yep.
But the flowers look amazing. Do you want to talk about a couple of lighter things that are actually super passionate
about? You want to talk about all the problems with the world?
Yeah, now that we solved all the problems.
And no shoes.
It came out that J.Crew is relaunching with like more sizing and lower prices. And I'm just really curious what you think about that. As someone, again, from Wisconsin, who, at least for me, J.Crew was like the ultimate growing up because we didn't even have J.Crew until I was maybe in high school. Like, do you also see J.Crew? Like, do you still hold a place in your heart that makes you be excited about this news? Or are you like over and past J.Crew?
I was never. Okay. I think I was always a little weird for J.Crew. Like, I think I was always like, for me personally, I always think of J.Crew as like a brand. And I think we talked about this, but like, that's like kind of like an entry level, especially for men. Like, when I talk to men about like, what's a good place that you can like kind of pick anything from the store as long as it fits and like just be okay. So I don't really know how I feel. I mean, J.Crew has just been through like so much up and down, like so much up and down with just like how they were like designer and it went through like a fashion trend and then it went back to being exactly what it was. I mean, I kind of think it should be exactly what it was. I mean, I'm all for lower prices. I think the notion that was so interesting is that they're like lowering the price of their like gateway tee.
Mm-hmm.
That was like fascinating because apparently they're lowering the price of their gateway tee from like what, $25 to $14 or something.
$14.50,
which is insane.
That's like Old Navy prices.
That's Old Navy prices, which is like great. Like, as long as we're not like using slave labor and like you're actually making those through ethical ways. And it sounds like they bought bulk cotton and like they did it in like an ethical way, I guess.
Yes, it was wild. The CEO came in and bought like a million yards of cotton. And
which is like, if that's, yeah, like a smart, I'm all for lower prices and like things that are more accessible. I don't know how I feel about J.Crew overall. Like, I guess I think it's like, it's good if it's like an entry level product, but I kind of think it like tried too hard for a while. And that's why everyone like had combated it. And then they were like in that same article, which was like, where was that? GQ. Yeah. They like, it was like so interesting because they were talking about, I thought it was interesting. They were talking about like how the brand used to try to create a persona that was extremely aspirational. So like in their, I mean, everyone's looking at that J.Crew catalog and you've been like, oh my God, I wish like my boyfriend had that kind of tousled hair, you know? And like he rolled his like jeans up 3 flips, like as he waited in the sand.
They're like, always in the sand, by the way.
Oh my God, they're always in the sand.
Like a dog.
Perfect. Oh yeah. God, those like
with
children.
The roll neck sweater.
Yes. I mean, I definitely admit I wanted my kids to look like that for a long time. The non-existent children in my life. But they were saying something in that article. It was about like, we can no longer create these aspirational lifestyles because like people are so different. Like everyone's creating their own style. So like those catalogs are less meaningful. And I thought that was so interesting. Like J.Crew built a brand on like the J.Crew lifestyle. And like, can we still have brands that do that? Or like, are we going to phase out into individual Instagrammer personas? Or like, you know, is fashion no longer going to be aspirational, but a little bit more like existent? I just thought that was so interesting.
I agree. The writer, Cam Wolf, he's great. And he always has such a like interesting take on just sort of like business, the business of fashion news. And yeah, I mean, do we want a more accessible J. Crew? I don't know. I struggle because, like, I do get t-shirts and tank tops at J. Crew. So for me, I'm like, $14.50, that's great. But is it going to be something where I'm going to buy a suit or a pair of pants? Or, you know, like, is it going to be something where I go to for more than just basics? If they're rolling back prices, does that also sort of mean that they're going to have to cut corners in terms of quality? And, like, I think about that for guys, because a lot of guys do wear the Ludlow or the Crosby suit, and, like, that's their suit. And, you know, it's the same guys that, yeah, like, maybe used it as, like, a starting point, but realized, hey, this is in my budget. I look good in this stuff. I'm just going to keep going with it, right? There's a lot of guys that, and women too, that don't necessarily go beyond J. Crew in terms of their price point for what they budget for their wardrobe. And I think that should be okay.
It's also not, maybe this is my, like, lame self speaking, it's also, like, not that cheap. Like, the current, like, I mean, half the guys I know buy their suits on ASOS now. You know, it's like your suit's like $200 total. So it's not that cheap. But so your worry is that if it becomes more accessible, it'll become lower quality. Would you be okay with accessibility as long as, like, the standards were the same? Like, if they continued to buy whatever, like, 20 billion, you know, pounds of bulk, whatever. And then,
yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess I'll just have to see what they put out. And to your point, like, yeah, there's so many more options now. And especially in terms of aligning with a brand aspirationally, like, there's so many direct-to-consumer brands where now that's who you want to be. Like, I want to be someone who wears Allbirds. I want to be someone who wears Everlane. Like, I don't think that these mass market, like, in-mall stores are necessarily, I don't think they're the arbiter anymore of aspirational lifestyle. I think it's, you know, it's coming from sort of more niche sources that are, what's interesting, they're the ones that are, like, doing pop-ups in the stores in the mall that have now closed because nobody wants to shop at them.
Well, like, that's all very confusing to me. Even, like, the, like, I love, like, the Bulletin Girls, and, like, their concept is, like, basically a store where you can, like, rent space. But it's interesting. It's, like, still a store, and it still has multiple brands in it. It's not like we're, like, you know, it's, like, a still, we're sort of, like, you know, it's hard to break out of the concept we understand.
We're disrupting stuff just to do the same
old stuff. I don't know. And, like, and my thought, too, is, like, when it comes to brands being the arbiter of style, like, is that even going to happen anymore? Like, we did a Gen Z focus group about two weeks ago.
I'm already shaking.
It was, okay, terrifying, one.
Yep.
I felt horrible. Like, I literally felt like my mother. I was, like, bringing everyone pizza, you know? It was it was a wake-up call for my life. But it was so interesting. And they were talking about just, like, how they would never, ever trust any influencer or any person they follow if they knew that a brand was involved with the things they were recommending. And, like, for me, I just assume at this point that anyone I pay attention to has been paid, like, you know, in dividends with, like, all these different, like, all these different brands. And they're like, we would never trust them. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean for, like, brands? What does that mean for anyone? Like, how are you ever going to get your thing to be influential? Yeah. You know, they don't trust ads ever. They don't even look at them. And that they won't trust sponsored things. So, like, what does that mean for the future? So, I don't know. That's also interesting as far as, like,
and this is what, like, 15 to 19-year-olds?
Yep. Yeah. Super diverse, too. Like, they were from all over. You know, it's just, like, very different, like, family incomes and, like, life stages and, like, you know. So, it was, like, a very interesting, I don't know.
But it's
it was amazing, but I'm horrifying.
I'm curious, though, because, like, that means probably, what, that they follow YouTubers and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing SponCon?
Well, they would fancy themselves, like, detectives, like, that they can tell when they're doing the sponsored content. I don't know. They're big into Snapchat, though. That was, like, interesting to me. Like,
really?
Oh, it's huge. It's bigger than Instagram. They don't even, like, they barely post on Instagram. They're like, oh, yeah, Snapchat. I'd heard it, and I was like, I don't believe, you know, like, I deleted Snapchat, like, ages ago.
Me too.
I was like, I don't believe it. That's everything. Oh, I don't know. God. Terrifying, but you know what? Children are our future.
Half the time I'm like, the teens will save us. And then half the time I'm like, oh my God,
I don't know.
We're so
out.
Hard to say.
The phones kill me.
Speaking of young people, did you see that Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, they're launching menswear for The Row?
Yeah. But, like, you're right. For, like, what I just, like, who can afford it? Who can afford?
I mean, it's going to be real expensive. Like, I don't own anything by The Row, which is their women, like, they've launched it as a women's wear line. They've had a couple of menswear capsule collections, but they also have a more affordable, quote unquote, line called Elizabeth and James, which I have some of their dresses because they just fit me really well.
How much, like, different is the price point? I mean, that's
like, different enough that I can afford it.
Afford it, yeah.
But it's so crazy because I feel like when they first kind of came along and they're launching, like, you know, whatever it was, $50,000 alligator mini backpacks, it was like, okay, all right. And then now they're like legit, they're legit designers, and they've like won CFDA awards, and now they're launching menswear. I'm sure I'd be super intimidated to meet them, which is hilarious because they were Michelle Tanner on, you know, Full House. But now they're like these fashion powerhouses.
Yeah, I think they're legit.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure that I think this stuff launches in October, which means that like every magazine you read, GQ, Esquire, whatever it is, like you will be seeing the Row stuff in those pages, and it will immediately be a success, and people will be buying the suits, which are like the suits are going to be made in Japan. The T-shirts are made in Italy. Like it's just like they're doing the finest fabrics and the best factories. Like, it's going to be the thing. It's going to be the new bop. And it's just crazy to me.
And God bless them. But who buys it, though?
Rich people. Really rich people.
Yeah. I don't know. I have so many thoughts. I mean, like, let's discuss fashion, like, as a whole. And all the phrases that go with it. I don't know. Like, I just, like, I'm, like, so not, I, like, when it comes to accessibility, like, yeah, it comes at a cost. But, like, that, I mean, I've worked so much retail, like, I've been the retail queen for so many years of my life, and it's just so unfortunate that so much of that stuff is like so, so, so unattainable. It's great though. I'm sure it'll be beautiful. Like, and I'm sure like Kanye West will look great in it, you know?
I just started watching Succession, and I was not on board for episodes, what was it, like 1 through 5. I was like, ugh, these people are the worst. And then like I watched one more episode and was like, JK, I love this. But it is like wild to see the wealth on that show.
What is Succession? I don't know.
It's this HBO show that's basically, it's like kind of like a fictional version of the Murdochs, like,
that's interesting.
Rich dad, or like dad that built up a media empire, and now his kids are like kind of vying to run it and put him, you know, out to pasture. And just the amount of money. And there's this kind of side character who's like a nephew, and he's worked his way in. And the sister comes up and is like, do you have any money? Like, I want to get sodas. And he literally, like, it's his last $20, and he gives it to her. And you could see him just kind of be like, oh my God, I'm parting with this last $20. And she just like doesn't even think to give him the change. And like, it does make you realize, I mean, that's like a very specific example, and it's a small example, but like, there are people to whom money just does not matter. Yeah. And those are the people that are going to buy the
Row. Mm-hmm. Moral of the story.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be beautiful. It'll be great. I mean, I think that they've done such a good job. I want everything on the site when it comes to, like, the women's wear.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, like, from working all that retail, like, I was so cognizant. Like, these women would come in, they wouldn't even look at the price tags. I know. But it's such, like, a unique – I'm always surprised that brands can subsist on that. But I guess it's, like, what happens is you have, like, the super high level. You have the mid-tier, maybe low-tier. And, like, people want to buy the mid-tier and low-tier because, like, of the aspiration and the clout that like the high tier brings. But like, what a business structure.
If we were fancier, this is where I would like insert that clip from Devil Wears Prada where she talks about how the blue has made it to like the mass market. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what the Row puts out now is going to be what ASOS shows, you know, 2 seasons from now. And a lot of people won't even know that it's influenced by the Row, but it will be. So, I mean, there is something to be said for they're influencing where fashion is going.
Yeah, and there's like something trendsetting.
I mean, there's something interesting and valuable about that. But yeah, like we probably will never put anything from the Row on Style Girlfriend because I couldn't imagine our readers wanting to pay that much for anything, right? Yeah. And that's fine. But it doesn't mean that it's not like interesting for them to put effort into making something well. I mean, it's like the same as saying that, I don't know, like Kanye West and O-Town both put music out, and so they're the same music, you know, it's like the same like level of quality. Like, it's not. I do not know why I thought of O-Town, by the way. But like, there's something to be said for putting things on a spectrum of you know, effort and like elbow grease put into it and appreciating that.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right. They do all influence each other, and it is very interesting. It's always interesting to me when it happens like within a brand too. Like, you know, like I'll literally work with companies where they're like, they'll price one product a certain way, expecting that it won't sell that great, but knowing that if they price it that way, the other product, if they price at a different price, will like appear by function cheaper, more expensive, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, yeah, it's just like the notion of like within your own company running your own like hierarchies of taste. Mind blown.
The last thing I want to talk before we get to hot takes is, and I'm looking at our outline right now, and it's got this name is underlined like 6 times because I keep spelling it wrong, but Emily Ratajkowski, was, I don't know, interviewed in like Nylon magazine or something, and she described her Instagram as a sexy feminist magazine.
I like how the New York Mag write up too is like 20 words.
Yeah.
It's like the hottest take of all.
And I think what, I guess I just want to get your feedback, because I have this thing where every time I think about Emily Ratajkowski, like, I get really, like, on edge. And then I get upset with myself because I feel like, look, she's just expressing herself and she's clearly feels empowered to, like, own her sexuality and display her sexuality in a way that makes her feel confident and makes her feel good. And if other people are getting their rocks off because of it, like, it's not about them. And, like, that's the woke, empowered version of me that's, like, you know, my better angel's trying to win out. And then the other part of me that's just, like, she just did a shoot where she, like, covered herself in spaghetti. And, like, is how empowered is that, really? And so I feel like the way that she cloaks herself in this, like, feminist language, I think that's what really gets to me. Because if she just, like, wanted to be sexy and cover herself in spaghetti, I think that's one thing. But then to, like, call it an empowered act, or to, like, say that doing that makes her a feminist, I don't know. I like, feel crazy when I think about her. And I think I don't like it because it makes me feel like the unfun, like, arms crossed, like, angry girlfriend who, like, the guy in the movie eventually, he leaves for Emily Ratajkowski, you know, because she's fun and sexy and cool. Like, you know, like, she's a cool girl, and I'm not a cool girl because
she's chill too.
So chill. And so I'm curious what you think about that, because I feel like you've thought a lot about, obviously, female sexuality, working on so many different women's sexual wellness products, and, like, I don't know. Tell me what to think.
I mean, I don't know either. My gut instinct is also like, oh, fuck you. Can I even say that?
Just do it.
Like, I think that's, like, obviously where I think most normal women are, like, you're, like, we're conditioned to hate other women who are beautiful and get attention of men. Like,
right, and so that's, I don't, like, want to do that.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, you know, it's obviously in our, like, it's in our gut that we're going to do that. And then, I mean, I'm definitely not, like, the arbiter of this opinion, but I do think that, like, it's real. That's, like, really complicated, because I live in a world where, like sex workers and strippers and all these different people are, like, now are really seen from a feminist perspective. Like, they're owning their sexuality. They're using it to, like, make money. They're not letting people take advantage of them. Like, they're, you know, and that's seen. And I think I've, you know, taken, obviously, growing up in, like, a very sheltered way, like, have now that's become very, like, ingrained for me. But still, when I look at Emily's, it's very hard for me to see it that way, because it's such, like, and I definitely have thought about this, but it's such, like, a traditional cliche way of being, like, hot for a man. And, like, I think it's easier to look at, like, a marginalized group, like sex workers or strippers, where, like, you kind of want to like them, right? We've all seen, like, Pretty Women. We've seen, like, these things where you're just, like, I kind of, like, want to, like, I want to root for them. It seems like, through our own, like, inherent biases, like, they've been through a tough time, or there's something there that makes you more, like, able to root for them. But when it's just a hot girl who, you know, walks in somewhere and gets, like, free drinks and gets, like, the stuff she wants, and, like, that's very difficult to just feel like, oh, yeah, that's super empowering. She's super feminist. She is literally using the male gaze to make her entire living. And that, you know, feminism is supposed to be, in our minds, like, completely combating that. And I think it's really hard to look at that and be like, okay, can you use the male gaze to make money in a proactive way and be like, and still be feminist? And, like, of course you can. But I think it's really hard to see that, especially we just think of, like, feminism as being like, fuck men.
And well, so she, like, we don't necessarily think that. A lot of people think
that. A lot of people think that, exactly. So, like, a lot of people think that that's what feminism is. And so it's, like, very hard to come back from that and be like, one, okay, obviously that's not what feminism means. It's about equality. But it's also, like, yeah, that's super complicated. I just think that, like, it comes down to a lot of us not understanding feminism. And even when we understand it, realizing that we have a lot of really ingrained biases about what it means to be an empowered woman. And also, obviously, like, she's not saying any of this on her Instagram account. So you're, like, watching an Instagram account with, like, boobs. And it's, like, very hard to look at it and be like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's feminist, you know? Right. She had a comment in that article, too, where she said, it's not like I'm going to be smart. What did she say?
She said, I'm not going to shout from the rooftops that I'm smart on a visual platform. Because she was kind of trying to make the point that yeah, she puts up boobie pictures on Instagram, and then she in other be, yeah. places and other platforms, she is more vocal about her feminism, or is more vocal about, yeah, how she's upending the male gaze, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about that line? I keep thinking about it. I don't really know what my opinion is on it.
It's interesting because, yeah, for the most part, her Instagram captions are like a twinkle, you know, or like a diamond if she's showing off her diamond ring. I don't know. Like, it is, it's pretty succinct. So, yes, she's not putting up a picture of herself topless where she does that thing where she like pushes her boobs in. So she,
oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, she's not doing that and then being like, I read this interesting take from, you know, whoever. God,
someone smart.
Even, someone
smart.
Some feminist author that I can't even think of. Gloria Steinem. I don't know. Yeah, she's not doing that, right? Yeah. She's not juxtaposing that sort of like super sexually aggressive content with similarly sexually empowered language. But yeah. She's not wrong. Like, people don't necessarily want to read your life story on Instagram or want to read, you know, an essay about third wave feminism. I know. And she's probably, yeah. I mean, she's smart for how she uses Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, she, remember when she was just like one of the models in the Blurred Lines video from Robin Thicke? Like,
that's crazy. I'm also power to her to be able to like turn an entire career from one video, which is like amazing.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I don't want to be like down on her, mm-hmm. but it's more just, I think I, it makes me question how far you get to take that, because I've been told the same thing. Like, people are like, Megan, if you put up more pictures on Instagram, like of you, like, you'll do better. And I've seen that, like, in our analytics, like, when the pictures of me do better and the pictures of, you know, hey, here's this new men's grooming product that's great, doesn't do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you, like, take the low-hanging fruit and sort of use what God gave you and say, like, I'm doing the best with what I have? I don't know. I don't know if there is a right or wrong answer to it, but I just, looking at her, I think, if anything, I'm just jealous of how much she's like, yeah, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to benefit from it.
Like, the no questions, no shame. How do you feel when people say to you, like, you should put up more photos of yourself? Like, what is your gut reaction?
I honestly, like, I would love to have a little bit more Emily Ratajkowski in me where I do feel like, you know, zero fucks given.
Yeah.
And not think about if it's going to make our audience think less of me, or, you know, my parents be ashamed of me. Like, it's, I feel super conflicted.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that is complicated stuff.
Yeah.
I think more than anything, it just makes me think about my own views of feminism, which I think is, to be honest, a very fluctuating, like, word and concept and definition. Like, it means something different every day. Like, obviously, at its core, it means that all humans should be equal. But what it means, yes.
And that they're not, and that's why feminism exists.
And that's why the word is feminism and not, like, whatever. So I think, but it just makes me think a lot about, like, the biases I have against what it means. And I do agree with you, like, how far can you push it and what can you claim as feminism? Unfortunately, there's, like, literally no right answer, because, like, day to day, it's like everyone has their own opinion on it. And
John Mayer put up something super problematic on Instagram story the other day.
He was like,
I don't really embrace the word feminism because it means different things to different people. And blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, get out of here.
Well, why don't you just say, this is what I don't get. Like, I get that all the time too. Why don't you just, like, say, I don't embrace the word feminism, but of course I, like, embrace the core meaning.
Well, that's kind of what he said. But also then, why not just embrace the word?
And change the perceptions of what it is now. Yes. I agree with that too.
And, like, maybe it's just about mirroring the term with the actual meaning behind it more emphatically, like, kind of tying the two together always. So not just saying, I'm a feminist, period, but I'm a feminist because, of course, I believe that men and women should be treated equally.
Yeah, that's a great point. But it's like, at what point do we keep fighting that battle? And at what point do you have to be like, let's just freaking invent a new word? Like, I can't deal with explaining feminism to one more person who won't literally Google it.
But how dumb. Like, it's horrible. It's already in the language. But let's just use the word that's there.
It's like so much in my day-to-day life having to deal with all these, like, yeah. Sorry, obviously I'm getting, like, really heated right now.
But it's dumb. Why would you, like... It's like taking Rocky Road ice cream and being like, we're not going to call it Rocky Road ice cream anymore.
Because everyone thought it was something different. So we just decided, like, we're just going to actually call it. Like, everyone thought Rocky Road was, like, just peanut butter. So we're just going to call it peanut butter.
Right. I don't even know. Like, language exists for a reason. Like, let's use it, right? Anyways.
I feel tired.
I feel tired, too. Let's get to hot takes. And then, I don't know. Go get a drink. What's your hot take for the week? I prepped you ahead of time. Taylor's hot takes are always just about her dating life, so I'm very curious what you brought in for us today.
Oh my God, that's so much more fun.
But it's good advice. She always has good advice. She's like, a guy did this to me on a Bumble date, and please don't ever do that. Not like weird sex stuff, but like just, you know, the way he acted or something.
Oh, well, mine's about weird sex stuff. Okay. I'm just kidding, it's not. I wish it was, because that would be a lot more interesting. No, there was this article. So I'm like a big Man Repeller fan. I think I used to write for them, and like I always have been like, I just think that they're great. They always have to do a different take on something. They had this writer, I think her name's Nina Wheeler, and she wrote this article, and it was like, why I don't want to marry my perfect boyfriend or something like that. And I saw it was like shared around. I kept seeing it. So I was like, I've got to read this. And it is fascinating, and more fascinating than the article itself is the response, how everyone's like, oh my God, that's me. And it basically is just about this girl who's like dating this guy, and he's like great and perfect and, you know, like should, and not the kind of like great and perfect where you're like, I should really want to be with him, but like, you know, that's like very different.
He's good on paper.
Yes, yeah. But he's like, when there's no spark, it's like everything is great. But she just can't get rid of the notion that like she's lived so many different lives before she's met him. Like, I think we all have, like, you know, like you have,
yeah,
like
the older we get.
Yeah, you've just like had these different like experiences that you never thought were gonna happen and turn out great. And basically the premise is just like she's lived all these different lives, and it's really, really difficult to not imagine that like this is one great direction her life could take, but there's also 1,000 other great directions her life could take. And like knowing that, like, just because this is one great one and the marriage would work out fine and they'd be great together, it's like she could also move to like Japan and have like a great life that way. And it's, I guess it's kind of basic, but it was like the response it got was like, I think literally everyone agreed with it. And that's weird. Like, what is that? Like, obviously marriage is changing, but like, what does that mean for our lives? Like, how do we live one life and now we're so, have so many options open to us? So how do we live one life and not spend our whole life thinking like, well, if I had taken the other path, like, this is what would have happened.
Well, I think that also speaks to the Man Repeller audience, which is a lot of millennial women that live in big cities.
Very true, very true.
Lead perpetually unfulfilled lives. Just like there's a lot of millennial men out there that same thing. They are on the dating apps. They're doing, you know, whatever they're doing. And they're always like, well, maybe I'll meet Emily Ratajkowski tomorrow. She'll be covered in spaghetti and we'll get married and live happily ever after. Like, nobody wants to cut out all of their options and all of their potential,
yeah,
other universe, other, you know, other dimensions, possibilities.
So true. You're so right about the audience thing too. Because obviously, like, all the women reading it are like, yeah, that's so me.
Right. Because everyone that reads Man Repeller is like, oh, I'm so Man Repeller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is me. So interesting. Megan just made me look very deep inside myself.
That's all we've been doing today. Like I said, I'm exhausted. That's a good one. We'll throw up the link and people can go,
yeah,
check it out.
It's just interesting. It like really made me think a lot about just like life, you know, life in general.
Wow, totally.
I need to go home.
Oh, God. Well, let me just tell you mine because it makes me laugh.
Yeah, I'm so curious.
I'm just not over my friend Ben Boscovich over at Esquire, another great writer, someone everyone should follow, put up this thing that Jonathan Van Ness, is that his name? The grooming guy?
I literally just think of him as JVN.
Yes, like, JVN, that's, yeah, yeah, from Queer Eye. Like, the guy who does grooming, the one who kind of had all the, like, catchphrases. Like, the one that was sort of the breakout of Queer Eye. And Justin Theroux, they're, like, friends. And I don't know if they've always been friends, but Justin Theroux has been, like, super, like, thirsty on Instagram, has been, like, hanging out with him and, like, posting pictures, and it's...
Wait. Have they posted a lot of photos together?
Yes, they posted like several photos together. So I don't know if they like knew each other before or if he just like hopped on the Queer Eye train post-divorce. I don't know. But he's back out there in a big way. And Jonathan put up a picture on Instagram of them with like Theroux's dog. And then like several hours later, Theroux took the same picture. And the way that my friend Ben wrote about it, he said he like upped the structure by 30. And it was just like... I'm not doing it justice.
Picture in the app, like when you edit.
Yeah, but like he was like making, and it was like a lot darker, and all the dark lines were a lot sharper. And so,
what,
like,
does that mean? His muscles?
It just
somewhere?
Means like his muscles look more defined. And I don't know why, but it was like the shadiest shade I've ever heard. And it was just describing what he did in
but
the
so
picture.
But so flippant, yeah, yeah.
But so flippant and so like. Again, thirsty of this, like, whatever, like, 40-something man who's in great shape on his own. And he looked good in the first picture, but he just, like, made, you know, he edited the image to make himself look better. And it just made me laugh because, I mean, we're all that person, right? We're all trying to, like, if we take 10 pictures with our friends, we're using the one where we look best. All of our friends have their eyes closed. And we don't care. And it's just so very funny that, like, even Justin Theroux falls, like, prey to that, where he's like, oh, you know, this looks good, but also, like, I could make a little
bit more. Oh, my God. If we could be in his brain while he was making that decision, that would be life-changing.
I think
we can see it, like, from the outside now. If we could be there when he was like, oh, yeah.
That's up again.
We all know that, too, like, playing with that, all that.
We'll put up the before and after, or the, you know, the JVN photo versus the Justin Theroux picture. You guys can decide for yourself. But it made me laugh yesterday. Like, you know how, like, you'll see something or read something, and then, like, 3 hours later, you'll just, like, think of it and chuckle? That happened to me.
That's always me on the subway with, like, a lot of weird looks. What is Justin Theroux's, like, what is his, like, public persona? Like, is it, like, does that match it? Is that,
he's, like a human thirst trap right now. He's just, like, out there. He wants everyone to know he's out there. And, I mean, God bless him. Like, he and Jen are split, and that's fine. But it just feels very, like, oh, my God, we get it. Like,
oh, Lord. That's funny. But also, like, weirdly heartwarming at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, we're all, like, so insecure.
They're just like us.
I know.
We, you know, want our muscles and our cleavage and our whatever to look better. And so, yeah, I think we've all added 30 to the structure at one time or another in our lives. You know what I mean?
That's a great takeaway from this today.
Let's just end on that. Thank you so much, Gab Pedriani. Where can people find you on
I don't even know what my Instagram is anymore because I've changed it so many times. I think it's at @fake_cool with 3 O's.
Oh, my God, you're exhausting.
I'm not sure where the best place to find me is.
All right, we'll find a way.
Can you just edit that out?
No, I'm leaving it all in. All right, thank you guys so much. That's it for us. Please rate and review us. I don't know, do all those things. That really helps people find the pod.
99 cents, everyone. It only takes 99 cents.
Yes, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review Untrust on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever it is you may listen. And if you really enjoyed this podcast, please consider supporting the show to help us keep it ad-free. Just head to anchor.fm/stylegirlfriend and click on the purple Support This Podcast button. Thanks. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.